Hello and welcome to the Race to Alaska podcast. I'm Jesse, the race boss here at the Northwest Maritime Center. You are a Race to Alaska fan, and with me today to spread the R2AK gospel is Jake Beattie, the troubled mind behind the race.
Hey Jesse, great to be here. I'm glad this is not a sung gospel event. I don't think I do.
Oh, well. you're not a gospel singer.
I'm just a gospel spreader.
Is it the harmony you have trouble with?
I think it's the singing.
Yes, of course.
Jake, there is a distinct R2AK vibe, and as fans begin to prepare their bunkers for race binging full of Cheetos and things, I'm hoping you can give them some tips on how folks might get themselves on the right wavelength. Can you please give us three songs and three films that you think will get people into the right headspace?
I'm going to go with films first. I would say that, obviously, Race to Alaska documentary, like, watch that again.
Yeah, sure.
Do it. But some other two other documentaries that I think are inspirational in a similar way. One is called Dust Till Glory, which is a documentary about the Baja 1000, an all motor event through through the Baja Peninsula that is pretty rad. It makes you want to do it the same way that Race to Alaska makes you want to do the Race to Alaska. The other one is a documentary about something that I have no desire to do, which is a documentary about the Berkeley Marathons, which are some of the hardest endurance races in the world that very select. You get the entrance fee changes every year, but it's based on the organized, like what the organizer needs. Like one year he needed a pair of jeans, so he asked everyone to give him a pair of jeans. And the races start when he lights a cigarette, and then the runners just go off. It's crazy. It's the most prestigious low-key event that actually exists.
Now, am I right? I think I was listening to a podcast about this. Barely anybody finishes.
No, like two people. Like one year, one person finished, and it was a big deal.
They're putting us to shame.
Yeah. We should make this harder, Jesse.
Let's do it. All
right, another film. You should start smoking so we can start the race.
Oh, yeah, let's do that. what is the cigarette of Race to Alaska?
Can we get our own brand of cigarettes?
It'd be like Marb 100s.
Oh, God. It's horrible.
Or would it be something without a filter?
I think maybe without a filter.
Okay. So let's shut up and get to the interviews.
Fair. I think you talked to two of today's teams, and I talked to one of them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're going to hear now from the love story that is Team Only Lovers Left Alive. And then we're going to go to your chat with soloist and Hobie Tandem Island racer. That's Team Forget Me Not. And then finally, we'll come back to me chatting with the four women sailing a San Juan 24 as Team Loose Screw.
Fantastic. First up, Only Lovers Left Alive.
Mark and Chelsea of Only Lovers Left Alive. I want to start by kind of hearing your backgrounds individually, and then we'll talk of the romance of it all. So let's start. Mark, can you tell me how you came to be a watery being?
I grew up mostly in Southern California, watery being kind of being the nature down there, surfing, a lot of time on the water, a lot of time on the beach. I moved up to Seattle in 2015, and that's when my sailing career started. I wouldn't call it a career, but that's when I kind of fell in love with it. I won like a charity auction to go sailing on Lake Union with a bunch of people. Everybody backed out, and it was just me and this one guy, and we kind of fell in love. The wind was great that day. We were on a Santana 20, and we tried to capsize the boat and couldn't. And we just kind of pushing it to its limit as much as we could. And I kind of fell in love with it. And next day I hired him to teach me how to sail.
And then from there,
a lot of boats, joined a collective of boat owners. And we had a Santana 525. And then we recently got a Ranger, pretty much lived on that boat, all throughout the pandemic, sailing as much as I could, worked on it, worked remotely while on it during the pandemic. Did a lot of solo, single-handed stuff. It was great.
Awesome.
And met Chelsea and just went downhill from there.
Perfect. Okay, and Chelsea, what's your evolution?
Yeah, just have been a water human for my whole life. I grew up on a river, and, the daily goal was to fall in. I definitely learned to love sailing when I was 10. Have a, like, tiny little sunfish that I still have. And take that out on days like this where, wake up before work. If it's windy, sunfish goes out. Yeah, it's a huge part of who I am. And it's like recently in my life become very much the center. I bought a boat, so I live on this boat just to be like super close to the water. I love beachcombing and those sort of like in between land and water spaces. Mm-hmm. And yeah, a daily swim starting May 1st.
Oh, so yeah.
Will be like, again, part of life. That was definitely.
We might as well just start it now because the water temperature is not going to be any warmer.
It's not.
Things don't really change. Listeners, we are coming to you, or at least Mark and Chelsea are coming to you from their boat on the north end of Lake Union where they live. So yeah, they're definitely watery folk. And I'll give you a 10-minute head start on race morning if you just jump in right now. Go. No, Mark's on his way. Okay, yeah. No, we'll hold that for later. Okay, so those are your individual stories. Now, this is the part where I'm going to go find some really romantic music to play real low level in the background, because I want to know how did your resume, all the stuff you told us before you got accepted into race, was about how you fell in love on a boat. So cue the romantic music and somebody tell me, in the style of the plot of a Nora Ephron film, how did this union come to be?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. First date, definitely on a boat. I think I clicked on Mark because it said wind, waves, water. And I was like, all right, that's the person. And then, yeah, we got on a boat and he like beautifully, with exacting grace, had the boat out of the slip in like 30 seconds. And yeah, there was like delicious wind and the moon was rising and the sun was setting perfectly.
Oh yeah, we sailed into the dark.
Yeah,
that day
we did.
I think that was the first time we sailed in the dark. Mm-hmm. We had the sails were still up. It was great.
Yeah,
we'll get that off to some script writer. We'll see what we can do with it.
But we do spend all of our time as much as possible on boats. And we've got a lot of boats, so.
Yeah, list your boats for me. Tell me about all your boats.
Well,
right.
Big Muff.
Big Muff is what we're on.
Yeah, she's big girl. She's 45-foot Bayliner. So she's pretty lovely floating apartment. And we do take her out on occasion. Mm-hmm. And float around in the Sound.
Yeah. And then we have Blueberry Muffin, which is the boat Chelsea learned how to sail on, a little sunfish.
Yep, she's blue. She's got a new sail. Pretty proud of that. Sometimes we duck dodge her. She loves it.
Sometimes we pedal her because there's no wind.
Yeah, so that's our experience in human powering
sailboat.
We have paddled Blueberry Muffin across the lake a couple of times now.
And then we got a flying junior called Pickle Time.
Yeah.
And that boat is fast and fun and wet. Every time we get on it, something breaks.
She's a hot mess.
She's a hot
mess. FJ Pickle Time.
Cool. FJ Pickle Time. And then I got Muff Diver. Muff Diver tender. She's good for an evening cruise, you know.
Okay.
Yep. And then we have Lucy, aka the Flying Burrito. And then we recently just got Spitting Kisses, the Santa Cruz that we're going to be sailing for R2AK.
Okay. Let's get into talk about Spitting Kisses. But first, let's just make sure everybody out there knows, if you are looking for a like back alley, non-legal livery boat rental, just go to the north end of Lake Union, find Mark and Chelsea.
I am working on it daily, 100%.
He's trying to find people to use these things.
And to pay me to park in part of my like 70-foot boat slip. So come on over.
Okay, I was just looking up the numbers. Now, in the history of Race to Alaska, there have been 5 Santa Cruz 27s that have completed Race to Alaska. The fastest was Team Ketchikan Yacht Club in 2019. They did it in 5 days, 5 hours. The slowest was Team Ripple in 2019, same year, 11 days, 1 hour. So about exactly twice as long. So you represent the smallest finishing, potentially, Santa Cruz 27 crew. Because we got also like Rite of Passage. We have Team Ketchikan and Team Wildcard, and that boat Wildcard is going to be in the race again this year. And so it's either teams of 3 or teams of 4. You're doing it as a team of 2. I did a bunch of math. The average time that Santa Cruz finishes in is 8.5 days. What do you think you're going to do?
We were
thinking 7 to 12, mm-hmm. but they'll probably end up being 14.
All right. Well, then you'll pull a record anyway for being the slowest finish in Santa Cruz 27.
It's a finish.
What's really exciting this year is that you are part of, I believe, the largest Santa Cruz 27 fleet in a single year of race last. We have Team Only Lovers Left Alive, Team Roscoe Pickle Train, Team Sail Like a Mother, Team Pineapple Express, and a team that we've yet to interview. I don't know if it's on the website yet, so this may be a world reveal. Team Shaka. We have five SC27s.
Oh, you guys must have some side bet going on.
No. If you win in your SC27, you get nothing extra. Nothing at all. So someone can come up with a prize for the SC27 fleet if they feel like it. Get a hold of me at podcast@r2ak.com. And if you put together a prize for the SC27 as a side bet, I might give you a sticker or something.
Sounds right.
So what are you doing to that boat right now? Because I know a bunch of teams out there, they are working hard, especially Odin of Roscoe Pickle Train. He lives here in Port Townsend, so I go check on him every once in a while. And he has Kevlar'd the entire interior, and he's doing all sorts of crazy stuff to his rig. Some people are just, you know, pulling it out of a field somewhere, making sure the sails don't have too many holes. What does your prep look like for your boat?
That is, we're more the latter. We're not Kevlaring anything. We have a ripped jib that we're getting repaired right now at Ballard Sails. Mm-hmm. Beautiful thing. All of our head sails are, you know, weather bare and holy. And my God, if they survive, it'll be a miracle. We're upgrading some electronics to modernize a little bit so we can feel a little safer.
Any luxuries going on the boat?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Mostly
luxuries.
Yeah, I put the best mattress money can buy in the V-berth.
You're putting a Sealy Posturepedic in your V-berth.
She's glorious. Yeah. So more than any other Santa Cruz 27, we will be sleeping well.
Ooh,
I can promise that.
Yeah, I mean, you're spacious. There's only two of you.
She's meant to be, you know, double-handed. Girls loving it.
Did you name the boat yourself?
Yeah, we had to.
Okay, Spitting Kisses.
Yeah.
She's fast downwind, and you know when you're going upwind with her, she gets you kind of wet. She spits kisses both ways, you know.
Yeah.
See you later.
And her fans.
Yep.
And also back at us.
And then also back at us.
Yeah, we got real wet last weekend.
Nice. Okay, so you're both independently water people. You come together. You are, you know, currently living the sequel to Sleepless in Seattle. And you, at some point, decided to race to Alaska together. How long in the making is this attempt?
I think it's 1 month, 3 weeks, and 2 days, and 4 hours, probably. I mean, it really, like, we bought this boat, like, 6 weeks ago. It's been that long since we thought that we were gonna go after this thing.
This is a super harebrained scheme.
Entirely.
I know. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
So we're all in.
We are all in.
It sounds like you are. It sounds like you're living an awesome lifestyle where you can decide, hey, in 6 weeks we're gonna go race to Alaska. It sounds like you're winning. Why? Just why?
Why not?
Yeah, it's there.
Absolutely. And it's going to be life-changing. And I think just this ability to take away all of the other distractions, right? Like, we both have jobs. We got 7 boats or something ridiculous. We got, like, you know, family and life happening. And it's so beautiful, the ability to be like, yeah, we're going to do this one thing. We're going to do it together. And we are, in every moment of it, just going to be focused on doing one thing in the most beautiful places that one can even identify in terms of the natural beauty of it. So mm-hmm. God, what a gift to be able to strip away all of that and just be in it together. Super exciting.
That's really great to hear. You know, I feel like a lot of people right now are having a really tough time. It's like, I personally, like, I poked out of COVID and for about 2 years was like, oh, I'm fine. That didn't affect me at all. And now I'm like, oh no, that's not true. And a lot of people are dealing with a ton of stress, and to see some folks who, like yourselves, who are saying, screw it, we're going to go live this life right now. we're going to see this opportunity and grab it. It's really inspiring. And maybe I should race to Alaska this year. We could do the race, no race boss.
Also hoping to sail back. So, you know, the intense part is sailing up and then hoping to turn around and just really settle into some beautiful, quiet days.
Oh, yeah. So sounds like you've cleared a pretty big chunk of schedule. Are you going to get an engine back in that to sail back? Or are you going to do the whole return trip engineless?
Well, it depends if they lose it or not, I suppose.
Right. Okay. Or if we don't make it all the way to Ketchikan.
Right. Okay. So you got Alaska Marine Lines handling your motor. Sounds like up to Ketchikan.
It's on the list of to-dos.
Oh, okay. So they don't know they're doing this for you yet.
They don't know yet.
Okay. They're pretty good at that sort of thing. So, but there's all these other things kind of surrounding the race. You know, you could easily do this on your own. You're doing it as the race. A lot of people do the race. People who are saying to me, yeah, we're going to do it in about 11 days. You're clearly not gunning for a new set of steak knives. So you're looking for the beauty. You're looking for the experience. You're looking for time together. But there's also all these other wonderful experiences you have as a part of this cohort. You get to meet all the other racers. There's all these kind of surrounding events that we throw. Any piece of that you were most looking forward to doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think being part of that, you know, rear pack of sailboats, you know, taking their time, anchoring together, making toast. What do they do when they're anchoring?
Sabotage each other. Last year, a few teams, they got together in Bella Bella while there was a northwesterly blowing, so you could throw some parties, I suppose.
Yeah.
Sounds fun.
You can go run the streets of Campbell River like mad people. Yeah, you can attempt a new Race to Alaska route by taking some channel nobody ever has. See what happens. Ooh. And mostly you can taunt the Grim Sweeper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, so your plan is to get to Ketchikan. Would you consider going north from there after you're done?
If we could take 2 more months, good God, that's like the dream, right?
Or if we got there in 5 days, we could probably head north for another week before needing to turn around.
Yeah, but actually, we're going to have a little stand-up paddleboard, like an inflatable one. So the plan on the way back, I'm definitely going to like try to get underwater and do a little snorkeling, check out some kelp and do some beachcombing. We're expert beachcombers.
Are you going to continue your daily dips during the race?
Hope so. Yeah.
Oh, that would be, I mean, you got to shower somehow.
Right.
Are you going to be documenting your trip north at all?
Yeah. We got a sweet little Instagram. Nothing more than that, but definitely want to keep friends and family up to date.
Yeah, sure. You want to plug your Instagram handle so that everyone will join and follow and subscribe and like, and you can monetize and you can be sailing content producers, and that's your life now. What's your handle?
You lucked out. We're at Spitting Kisses.
All right. So follow them there. I'm hoping that they'll put out all sorts of good stuff along the way. There's pretty good coverage in certain parts of the course. And then we lose you for a couple of days in the northern reaches. Well, I'm going to be looking forward to seeing what you do. I want to... your daily swim location.
You got it, Jesse.
All right. Well, you're going sailing today, so I better not keep you because you've got some real deal training to do if you're going to take those steak knives.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Okay. Mark, Chelsea, thanks for spending some Saturday morning here. And we'll see you in less than the amount of time you wish you had to prepare.
Indeed. Thanks, Jesse. This is great. Jesse.
All right.
They're so great. I love them. And I respect their addiction for like buying too many boats. That's I can smell my own.
Yeah, how many boats do you have?
Like 4.5.
Which one is a half? Or is there one that is 1.5?
Nah, that's a good question. We're not going to talk about that.
All right. It's a sadness in your boat world.
I know.
Great. Well, let's keep it moving. You chatted with Jolyn, the sole member of Team Forget Me Not. And I can't help but notice you didn't get upset with her at doing that thing where she used the word not spelled with a K in her team name.
You know, it was such a commonly weak pun. And she's such a nice person who's like severely talented. Like she is so talented and like well beyond her years. That, like I let it slide.
Jake Beatty pulling his punches for the first time in recorded history.
I was impressed. She wowed me.
We'll just start. My name is Jake Beatty, and I am the creator of The Race to Alaska and occasional podcast host. And I'm here with Joe Barley from Team Forget Me Not. And Joe, we've never met before, but I got to say, like, I'm pretty excited about this interview because, and this is no shame or slag on other people, but like, I'm a huge fan of you. I haven't even met you yet. I just read your background and things. And as someone who's sometimes tasked to tell stories about the Race to Alaska, it is not infrequent when I have to find ways to make people interesting. And you're super interesting.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's you're I don't even need to be here. You can just talk about yourself for 20 minutes. And it's fascinating. Like, so let's start. Where are you from?
I live in Comox, Vancouver Island. Originally from New Brunswick, but I moved out here when I was about 10.
Excellent choice.
I think so.
So Comox is like midway up Vancouver Island on the inside of Vancouver Island for those people who are following along on the map at home. You are one of the most water immersed people. Like, you might have only showed up in Comox at 10, but like, it seems like you've really embraced your British Columbian. Like, tell us about, like, tell everyone, tell us about like your connection to the water, like personally, your professional, like you're kind of the water.
Yeah. Even in New Brunswick, I grew up living on a lake. So we'd always be out on the water on different boats and stuff. And when we moved out here, we got a big sailboat. And so we've been up the coast on that during the summers for a month at a time kind of thing. Yeah. And then I bought my first Hobie Tandem Island a few years ago. And I've been doing different trips on that. I'm on my third one right now. But I've been enjoying that. And I'm a commercial diver. So I'm off on the water a whole bunch and have done lots along the coast. Yeah, I've worked at a fishing lodge up on Calvert Island for a while. So I've experienced being up there, which is a gorgeous area.
You're a fishing guide. You're a commercial diver. And you kind of mumbled up, like you dive in Seymour Narrows. Like, we try to make Seymour Narrows out to be, because it is, it's this crazy like current churny place, but you actually go underwater intentionally in Seymour Narrows.
Maybe not like in Seymour Narrows, but I work through on the other side and by Cape Mudge, Campbell River kind of thing.
I mean, I've gone diving before, never in that much current. Like, how much current are you working in and how long are you under at a time?
It really depends on what kind of work I'm doing, but you're under, if you're doing like urchins, that kind of thing, you go up and down quite a bit with once you fill a bag and you come up and trade it off for a new one, so you're in the water for quite a while. But the current's kind of tricky. You can't work in too much current. But
well, it's super impressive. I mean, so professionally, you're a fishing guide and a commercial diver. At least you've done those things. You've gone up and down the coast a million times. You've done it on you're on your third tandem island?
Yeah.
Because you just break them? Like, you just.
The first one, my mom and I bought, and we did a couple trips on that. We did Bella Bella to Port Hardy and around the Broughtons and stuff. And then she decided to sell that one, so I bought my own. And I did Prince Rupert to Bella Bella last spring for a month there. And that was really fun. And then I sold that because I figured I'd be too busy with work and stuff. And I was going to get a different, bigger, more solid trimaran to do Race to Alaska in. And then couldn't really find one. So I figured I already know a lot about this boat, so I'd just pick up another one of these.
I want to get to your boat in a second, because I think it's like choosing to take a tandem island on the Race to Alaska is as impressive as you are, honestly. Like, it's a bold move, but like, you have this sailing, you have this resume and experience that, like, I would believe it if you were like a 60-year-old guy, but like, I don't know how old are you?
I'm 23.
It's amazing. Oh my God. And the fact that you're from Comox, I don't, do you know, I'm trying to think of their names. Kayleen and
Orca.
Orca, yeah.
I haven't met them, no.
I mean, I just was like, what's going, like, how are you, you grow strong people up there. It's really impressive. So you're all like youngish women who are doing the race to Alaska in lots of different ways. I just think it's cool. So your boat is a tandem island, a Hobie tandem island, which for those people who don't know about it, maybe you should tell, like, describe, I've described them, and I mean this in the nicest way, as like overgrown pool toys. They're like, but like, you probably have a better way. You have way more experience than them. Like, can you describe it to people who don't know what they are and are madly Googling it?
It's like a 18 and a half foot sit on top kayak with outriggers and a big sail. Yeah, and you can pedal it, which is awesome, and paddle it if you feel like it too, and sail it. So it's pretty versatile.
And you've done a ton of miles on these things.
Yeah, a fair bit.
Do you know how many?
I have no idea, no.
No idea, yeah. I saw somewhere someone forwarded me a picture of you sailing in pretty aggressive weather, it looked like, with your dog on the foredeck, in like a little dog tent?
Yeah, a little, it's a Dodger that I'll be putting on this boat. Yeah, my dogs come with me when I'm out on the trip. Not this trip, unfortunately. I don't think she'd really enjoy that, but.
So your dog had a way to get out of, like, talk to me a little bit more, like, why did you choose to do it on this rather than, like, a boat that had, say, an inside to it?
Well, that would have been nice, probably would have been a good idea, but, you know, it has a Dodger. I set up a tarp, and then I can crawl into the Dodger, and if I like curl up in a ball, I can kind of get out of the weather if, you know, I'm anchored somewhere.
You're really selling the experience. It sounds
not bad.
So like, what do you hate more, like being dry or being sunburned?
Oh, yeah.
Not being dry, I guess. Not being dry.
Yeah, yeah, it's not bad. You know, you wear a dry suit and
sure,
you're all set.
I don't know how long you followed the race to Alaska, but you're not the first Hobie Tandem Island to do the race.
Mm-hmm.
And the first, have you discovered an early legend of the race? Is a guy named Roger Mann.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Have you contacted him?
I haven't, no, but that's pretty incredible what he did.
Well, he, flashing back to maybe the first and second year of the race, he did it in a way that, like, every time he finished the race to Alaska, he would have this, like, he's like, it would just, like, he exhaled the last of his life force through his eyelids. Like, he was like, had this million mile stare. And, but, like, I don't get that sense from you. Have a different energy to you, Joe. Like, the fact that you've done it before, like, I think that's really interesting. You've done most of the coast that's in the race to Alaska, either because it's in your, like, hometown backyard or because you've sought out the experience of, like, going, like, what's it like being on this coast? You already were endless. So, like, what's it like beach camping around the coast on your tandem island?
It's pretty amazing. It's just such a beautiful part of the world. Yeah, I'm really lucky to live here and be able to just, like, pull the boat on a ferry and take it up there and explore around. I don't know.
Why, if you were to give advice to someone who is interested in doing the same thing, like, what would you tell them either to make sure they do or make sure they don't do if they're thinking about it?
If they're thinking about doing...
Tandem island cruising up the Inside Passage.
Yeah, I'd say just start small with maybe some little day trips and that sort of thing, and figure out the kind of the limits of the boat, because once you're out in some rough stuff and you kind of get the idea that it's not that bad and you can actually deal with it, then everything else looks pretty a lot easier.
I guess my other thing I'm really curious about is, like, you've basically done the race to Alaska on your own over a longer period of time and over multiple summers. But, like, what made you want to, like, the t-shirt's not that nice. I could just send you a t-shirt. Like, what made you want to be in the race?
I guess I'd like to be a part of the Race to Alaska community. It seems like a lot of really amazing people. And I don't know, I'm very competitive, so I think that it would be a really, really cool challenge to do for myself.
Yeah, you should definitely reach out to Roger Mann and like tell him you're going to be this time. Coming for you, buddy. You don't seem like that kind of person, but you're really competitive, huh?
Oh, yeah.
How does that normally manifest?
I know I do a lot of different sports and stuff like that, but yeah, it's not necessarily. Yeah, I just competitive about my own things, and you know, yeah.
I actually had to stop racing sailboats because I just turned into a complete asshole. I can't like I didn't like what it did for me. So hopefully, one question, like, so you're also chose to do it by yourself, which is another layer of complexity and challenge. Like, why not with another person? Or did you think about it?
Yeah, I've always kind of wanted to do it by myself. I think it's a very fulfilling thing to accomplish, solo. And, I also just, have yet to find somebody that I think I would be willing to be stuck on a boat with for the race.
Another thing. Yeah, that's totally fair. You don't have to worry about crew dynamics when it's just you.
Exactly, exactly.
Although sometimes the fights I've had with myself are sometimes worse than, you know, with other people. Another question, like because you've done it all already, are there favorite parts of the coast? Are you looking forward to seeing one part or another?
I love the area around Calvert Island, Bella Bella, up to Clemtu. That's probably my favorite area that I've been in, but I'm really excited to actually cross the border up into Alaska because I haven't been on the water up there, so that's pretty exciting for me.
It's way different. I mean, it's in miles, not kilometers. It's in Fahrenheit. What do you think it's going to be different about racing to Alaska versus cruising around and poking around? Like, how are you preparing for this trip differently than you prepared for others?
I think it'll be a lot different. Yeah, actually racing. I've like just what I'm bringing and what I'm packing and all of that. A lot less comfort. And yeah, I'm planning on just sleeping on my boat every night instead of finding a place to actually set up a tent and all that.
Do you have like a sleeping platform that's ready to go? Because normally people don't sleep on those.
Yeah, you just kind of like lay out a mat or under the Dodger, like in the front seat, and then kind of like in a bivy bag, in a sleeping bag under a tarp, and that works. Because it's pretty tricky finding somewhere to set up a tent on the shoreline there. It's just so thick with trees and stuff a lot of places.
You would know. You're competitive. I'm going back to you said you're competitive. Have you been scoping out the teams that you're going to be racing against? You're like, which ones you're going to be competing with?
It's more of a competition with myself, I think.
Ah, coward. Come on. Sure, that for sure it is.
Yeah, just to be able to do the best that I can. I think, like, I'd love to finish the race. That's my goal.
How long have you known about the Race to Alaska?
I first found out about it when I watched that Go Fast, Go North Netflix show about it. I think that was maybe I watched in like 2018 or something.
Mm-hmm.
I've been accepted twice before, I think, but then it got canceled because of COVID, and then I got some job or something and didn't do it the next time. So I've really put everything else on hold at the moment and made this the priority this year so I could actually do it.
Hobie Island, you're gonna go, you know, 750 miles. How are you getting back?
Not sure yet.
Love it. I love that.
I have some different ideas. Currently, I'm thinking maybe the easiest would be to sail it back to Prince Rupert and then pull it onto the ferry back down to Port Hardy, maybe. But yeah, I'm really not sure yet.
You'll figure it out. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
You can sail it to work or wherever that is. Do you have any, your goal is to finish, you said, like, what do you have any, I have you allowed yourself to imagine how long that will take?
I mean, the Grim Sweeper has what, like 25 days? So, you know, close to that, I'm thinking probably.
Okay, we've gotten to the part of the interview that I like to call the totally unfair either or questions.
Okay.
They're totally unfair. They're either or. Just pick which one. Pick one. Would you rather have the current with you or the wind with you?
Current, for sure.
Why's that?
Well, I've tried to like go against the current before. And well, it depends where you are, but it's usually a losing battle.
Would you rather finish the race or have a good time?
Definitely finish the race.
Would you rather have not quite enough food during the race or eat rehydrated food for 2 weeks after you get back?
I eat rehydrated food after I get back. I'm fine with that.
Would you rather have blisters on your hands or blisters on your feet?
Hands. Because I'll be pedaling and that would be not fun.
Right. True. Okay, last one. Would you rather have $10,000 or steak knives?
I'm thinking 10 grand would be nice.
Fair. Totally fair. Yeah, who cares about steak knives? Some people do. Well, Joe, I think we're at the end of our allotted time. So great to meet you. We'll see. I guess we'll see you in a couple weeks. Was it 6 weeks? It's 6 weeks from today, I think, is when the race starts. So maybe try out the boat. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
And then we'll see you soon. Good luck.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much, Joe. We'll look forward to meeting you in person when you show up in town.
Okay, so this year we've got quite a fleet of beach cats and tandem islands and plastic pool toys.
What would you call a tandem island, Jesse?
A bad idea?
Sure, fair.
Yeah. What percentage of these boats do you think we're going to see in Ketchikan out of that ragtag fleet?
All of them.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That is hopeful.
You put Forget-Me-Not on a tandem island, and I mean, she's already done the Race to Alaska. Well, that's... She just didn't get the t-shirt.
Yeah, that's true.
She did it with her dog.
Is she bringing her dog this
time? No.
Oh.
Coward.
All right. We've got one last team. It was my interview with three of the four members of Team Loose Screw. Loose Screw started with Emily. Emily, you emailed me how long ago?
In January? Not even 6 months ago.
The message was essentially, God damn, I really want to do this race. And I think... our response was like, okay, yeah, we want you to do the race. Let's look at your resume. Let's see. And we had some questions and wanted you to go off and do some little things to satisfy the super crazy high bar or low bar or whatever bar it is we have. And you came back to us with three other team members. How did you find them?
Yeah. So I basically posted on a women's sailing Facebook page and was like, hey, I'm thinking of doing this race. Like, does anyone want to come do it with me? And was kind of overwhelmed with responses, which was very cool. And yeah, kind of put the team together. And everyone is cool and stoked. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I found them on the internet, so super sketchy.
Okay, so Loose Screw is a team that came together via online dating. That's pretty great. And let's go. Anne, in your online sailing dating profile,
yes.
that caught the eye of Emily so that she did a swipe right and chose you for the team. Can you give us a little background on your sailing history or your adventure history in general?
Well, I learned to sail when I was 17 and I sailed little boats on the Great South Bay and Charles River and Atlantic Ocean, and then came to the West and crewed on big boats. And I got busy with other things, work, life, kid, and didn't sail so much. But in the meantime, got very into adventure climbing. So my adventure experience is mostly up at high altitudes in big mountains, a lot of them here in Washington and some in the other continents. So I tend to like suffering, as one friend of mine says. I like to go high up in the mountains for weeks at a time at high altitudes and be cold and question why I'm doing that. And I remembered why I did the same with sailing back in the day. And I've been following this race since the beginning and thought it was a little crazy. But then I saw the documentary a few years ago and went, oh, that falls into my definition of crazy. And so I want to do this. And so I started getting my sailing chops up again in the past couple of years and happily found Emily only about 6 weeks ago. I'm the fourth member, and I was on a team that fell apart, and I got on the racers forum. So my online dating was directly through the R2AK racing forum. And I said, hi, I need a team. And Emily emailed me, and here we are.
Oh, that's wonderful. I would really love to be privy to all of the teams that self-destruct before they get to the point of applying. So then Holly, you're another one that got drawn in through Emily's really well-crafted sailing dating profile. How did you come to be in the team? Or how'd you come to be sailing?
Yeah, so I have a bit of a different story. I've only been sailing for about 5 years now. Yeah, 5 years. Started here in Thunder Bay, which is in Ontario. So I represent the one Canadian on the team. Woo woo! I started with a bigger boat. So I started on a J35 and then moved to smaller boats. And I've been sailing like Lightnings and Vipers and kind of had opportunities to sail all over. And then last year started doing some races across Superior, which is really cool. So went from Thunder Bay to Michigan and realized that I really enjoyed that. And it was a lot of fun. And then also had a friend who had talked about the R2AK and how he wants to do it in the future. So it kind of had my ball, like I had it in the back of my head of like, this is something that I want to do. But then when I saw Emily's post, I was like, yeah, sweet. I want to do that. I do a lot of cold water. It's great. And I have a huge background of like adventureness. So it's kind of right up my alley. I am very into like competitive long distance sports. So a competitive cross country skier for 12 years. And then I've also done like crazy long races, like 100 kilometer races. I've done like some like ski backpacking trips and just like love to push my limits. I one time was like, let's bike 110 kilometers to watch the sunrise one morning because I was tired of being stuck in the city during COVID.
That's a good way to cope. Okay, so you're out there in way far Canada. We've got one other team member that is not on the call right now, and maybe Emily, as the person who's pulled this whole thing together, can you tell us about Julie and where the hell she is right now? Why she's not on the call?
She's off doing a delivery right now. So she's sailing some warmer waters, going from St. Martin to Bermuda. And she's kind of similar. She just got done doing a circumnavigation last fall, I think. I think she finished that like 6 months ago, and has done a bunch of cool blue water cruising mostly, does deliveries, does cool stuff, and was just like also found her in the same online dating, if you will, profile. But she was just like, oh, yeah, that sounds cool. I don't know what I'm doing next, but this sounds like a great plan. And so that's kind of where she got in.
Great. I mean, she's bringing a ton of offshore miles to your team.
Yeah.
Okay. So then lastly, you, Emily, the nugget, the core.
Oh, boy.
The gravitational pull of Team Loose Screw. Tell us about yourself.
Oh boy. Yeah. So I learned to sail technically in 2015, did ASA 101. So I could actually drive a rib down in Australia because ASA 101 counted as a boating license in Queensland. And then so drove the scuba dive boat down there. And then was like, sailing's pretty cool, and have kind of just been doing more and more since then. Currently live aboard a 45-foot sailboat. We did the Inside Passage in 2022, my husband and I, which is how we found out about the race. We got to Ketchikan just after you guys took there one night. You guys took all the banners down the next day. But I was like, that's a cool thing. That's a thing I really want to do. And last fall, I sailed on a leg of an around the world race. So I sailed from the UK to Cape Town, and then got home from that and was just like, what am I doing now? And kind of was in Port Townsend for some rigging work on our big boat, saw the Race to Alaska boat, and was like, that is what I'm doing. And I think it was within 2 weeks that I emailed you, bought the boat, and then started figuring out how to make it all happen.
That's awesome. You all have such an interesting crew composition. Like, Anne, you're a surgeon, is that right?
Yeah, orthopedics.
So Anne's an orthopedic surgeon, which if you could come talk to me about my shoulder, that would be great. We have Holly the Canuck. Is Canuck like derogatory if Americans say it, by the way?
Not really.
Okay. Not really. So there leaves some space there for like maybe. Okay. But I
Yes.
say it lovingly, very lovingly. So we have a Canuck coming in from Thunder Bay. Emily, you're like, it looks like your trajectory is into like more cruising, more big things. And you've got Julie, who is apparently out there just doing deliveries and is full throttle just in sailing life. What can't be overlooked, of course, is your group of four women. And I don't want to linger on it too much, but you are following in the footsteps of some awesome teams right now. Of course, there's Sail Like a Girl. This year, we have Sail Like a Mother. We've had some amazing rowing teams of Let's Row Maybe and Don't Tell Mom. And we have Race to Alaska has been lucky enough to be a place where women teams can come together and, you know, step outside of the mainstream kind of bullshit male-dominated sailing world. Do you think that Race to Alaska is particularly appealing for a team of your composition?
I mean, I think the race is appealing to anyone, regardless of their composition.
Okay.
Like the ocean doesn't care what gender you are. And like on a boat, like as long as you can reach stuff, like women are just as capable as dudes. And I think it's kind of a neat little corner where you don't have to have as much backing kind of as some of the big races. So it's a lot easier to get into, and I think that's probably part of how it's you have to know less people ahead of time versus some of the other big races, kind of.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on that because I particularly think that it seems that Race to Alaska is moving further in that direction of diversity, and I'm just over the moon about it because I'm a white dude and I'm pretty sick and tired of just walking through marinas full of people who look like me. It's pretty boring. So thanks for being part of Race to Alaska. You're in all different places right now. Actually, I don't know where you are, Anne. Where are you?
Seattle.
Okay, you're in Seattle. Emily, you're in Seattle.
Ish, yeah, I'm on Bainbridge,
Ish.
so
Okay, you're on Bainbridge.
close enough.
So there's only two of you within any range of each other. At least Anne and Emily, have you sailed together yet?
Yeah, well, we all got together as a full
Okay.
group like a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. What is time?
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. And so we had a little like 3 day, like we'll all like make sure we don't hate each other before we like fully commit to like sailing to Alaska. And that was really good. And so that was a like make sure we find a time to overlap everyone's schedules a little bit.
Boy, that's got to be like a bit of a nerve-wracking meet cute there. I don't know why I'm going so rom-com with this, but when you pull together a team of people who don't know each other and you finally get together for the very first time, step on board, cast off your dock lines, that's got to be a little nerve-wracking because it could really go sideways. So what did you plan beforehand? Like, okay, these are the things we need to accomplish to like, this is the check boxes we need to check to make sure this thing works. And what were those?
I mean, I think that's giving us a lot of credit. I think it's like, let's make sure we don't murder each other. We ended up having almost no wind while they were in town, and the pedal drive wasn't finished yet. It's nearly finished now. And so we didn't go very far. And then in tuning the rig, we broke some stuff, so then we were really not going anywhere.
Nice.
And so they had to fix that. But it was kind of a like, let's just make sure everyone vibes. It's really just a vibe check as opposed to like a skills check, because it's we all know what we're doing. And so
Okay.
let's make sure we can do it together and have fun.
Going forward from here, you've got an amount of weeks left. Let's go with Holly. What are you doing out there to prepare for the race?
So this weekend I'm taking a safety at sea course. So getting that checked off. Otherwise, biking lots. My main mode of transportation is bike, so just adding extra mileage on, getting ready for that pedal drive. Sailing season, unfortunately, in Thunder Bay hasn't opened yet and won't open for another couple weeks, so not really any sailing to be had, but trying to do what I can with what I have.
Mm-hmm. And when are you making your way out to the West Coast?
The end of the month. So my contract finishes May 31st, and then I'm headed straight out there.
Anne, what are you doing between now and race day?
Well, also getting on my bike quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And because Emily and I are pretty close, I've been helping her work on our boat, our trusty little boat. And we're going up to Port Townsend later this week to do some work on the boat. So I'm helping her with all the, she's doing most of it. I won't take mm-hmm. much credit, but helping her as much as I can over the next month. And hopefully we can, once we get more things together on the boat, like the pedal drive and the new shackles and all that, she and I will take it out and see how it's doing. So I'm hoping to sail with Emily on our boat a bunch and work on it as well.
Okay, let's talk about that boat, shall we? Your trusty steed for Race to Alaska 2024 is not yet another Santa Cruz 27s. Are we sick of Santa Cruz 27s yet? There's too many of them.
There's what, like four?
There's five, I think.
Ridiculous.
They just keep coming. Thank God application season is over, because we're just like dripping with SC27s. But you're bringing a San Juan 24 to the party. That is, it's not a ton of boat.
No.
And I don't think I'm remembering this particularly well, Emily, but I think when you first applied, you didn't know quite.
I didn't have a boat yet.
You didn't have a boat yet. And then, if memory serves me correctly, you like found some blackberry bushes that had like a bow roller sticking off
something
of it or
like
something.
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. No. So yeah, she was actually just moored up behind some guy's house on Mercer Island. So she was over on Lake Washington, just like sitting behind his house, and he put her on Craigslist for $250. And I was like, well, I'll go look at the $250 boat. Like, what could go wrong? And so I went and looked at the boat and like knocked around on everything. And I was like, well, she's covered in mold, needs new sails, but like everything I cared about was like solid. Like decks were fine, the bulkheads were fine, the compression post was great, the keel boats were great. Gave her a big old scrub, some new sails, some new clothes, and here we are.
When do you think the last time she touched water was before you brought her
down? She's been in the water, so she was in fresh water, so she was just sitting on an anchor because he just had
house
with waterfront, so she's been in the water. Probably on freshwater for a long, long time, which is part of the reason we're getting called out this week, is we're very fuzzy.
Right.
So we're going to get some bottom paint. And while she's out, we'll drop the rudder and look at all that sort of stuff. But
what? You haven't even scrubbed the bottom yet?
We've scrubbed it, but she's not been out of the water.
Okay. Listeners, if you're not aware, at the Blazer Party during the Wooden Boat Festival in September, there are some ancillary awards presented to finishers of Race to Alaska. One of them is the Dirt Bag Award, usually given to, how shall I say this, the most economical vessel to have finished the race. I think Loose Screw may be in the running for the Dirt Bag Award.
You say that, but then I was like, let me go buy a new sail. Let me go like buy all new running rigging. Let's go get new turnbuckles. I think all together. So it's funny because I make purchases and I'm like, I could have bought the boat like three times for that. Like the pedal drive is, I think, in for about $1,000 for all the pedal drive components. I was like, that's four boats. And so it's just fun to think about.
Don't
everything
sell
I
short.
Buy. It's like, I could have bought the boat four times.
Have you outlined roles aboard? Like who's doing what? Clearly you have a doctor on board. I mean, that one is in the bag. But otherwise, like, I don't know if you are planning to do this thing as fast as you possibly can. If you're doing the sightseeing version, you got four people, two watches, a two. What's the roles? How are you breaking out what everybody's doing on board?
Yeah, I think we're going to kind of be pretty flexible still. Our watch schedule, we're kind of going to do watch of the two, but it's going to be four on, four off, but rotating every 2 hours. So you'll kind of be with you'll have one person you'll never see, and then you'll be with two people all the time. And it's going to kind of be whoever's up gets to kind of manage the sails, and then we'll look at where the tides are, make choices kind of, I think, as a group, being like, here's what our options are, here's what the tide gates are doing. Our goal is to finish in Ketchikan as fast as we can, but not murder ourselves to get there. But that's kind of the plan, is we're just all going to vibe.
You're all going to vibe. This sounds like nothing could go wrong.
What could go wrong?
Is there anyone in your lives who are terrified for you right now?
I think if my parents understood, like any of my family actually understood what the race was, they would be very concerned. But they don't quite get it.
But you're actively keeping them away from the website. We're just and like, all that?
Don't look too closely.
Okay. I will take that as a cue to specifically highlight what danger your vessel is in during the race, just for your parents. If you could give me their phone numbers and email addresses, that would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. Mother's maiden name, all that. Yep.
Yes, perfect. Okay, so once you've gotten to Ketchikan, what's your plan for getting south again? Are you, as a team, going to bring her south? You're going to put her up on the AML barge and let them take care of it? Or are you going to sell it? Or are you going to set it afloat and leave?
You just cast her off now. The plan is I'm going to take the boat back, I think, by myself and kind of solo her home, which will be a different, more fun adventure. I'll probably put an outboard on. After the race, she probably will be for sale. If anyone wants a slightly more expensive, but still not very expensive San Juan 24.
Perfect. Well, I think that's what I got. Anne, Emily, Holly, and absentee Julie. We've got 6 weeks before you see you in action. I'm looking forward to seeing you in town. I guess a couple of you going to be in town later this week. Look me up. We'll have a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
You can tell me all the things that are not suitable for the podcast.
All the secrets, the juicy details.
Juicy details, which I will then release to the public.
Do have cookies for me when we get to Ketchikan. You promised them to me when I was a tracker junkie last year.
Ah, that was you. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, usually the bakery in town provides that. So we'll just make sure that those lovely young women who were giving baked goods to everybody last year, we'll just make sure they're still doing their thing.
All right.
All right. Well, I look forward to seeing you at the ruckus. I look forward to seeing you at the start line. I look forward to seeing you exhausted, bedraggled, dehydrated, and hypothermic somewhere along the race course before you triumphantly arrive in Ketchikan. And good luck in your training.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Do you think we should maybe give an award for longest beard on a boat?
Absolutely.
How about longest beard on a person?
We could do that too.
You seem really anxious to give out lots of awards, Jesse.
I mean, what can I say? I like celebrating people.
You're from the participation ribbon generation, aren't you?
I mean, you are a lot older than me, Jake.
That was a good volley. Touche.
All right, that does it for this week's R2AK podcast. Make sure you're signed up for Race to Alaska email updates. Do that at r2ak.com at the bottom of the page. And until next week, adios.
Race to Alaska is a project of the Northwest Maritime Center in Port Townsend, Washington. To learn about our other projects or how you can support them, please visit us online at nwmaritime.org.